excited. I have a shorter sermon this morning, but I wanted to. This is a hard time of year to keep people around because I know that you have tons of things going on in your brain, especially like I said last week, for those of you that are task oriented, you have a bunch of stuff in your brain that you know need to get done, and need to get done a certain way. And so I know that those things weigh heavily on you, so I'm not going to keep you overly long today. You'll be able to reach the bathroom for the restaurant. I know that the holiday time can be a very depressing and difficult time for those of you, for some of you, for many people that you come in contact with. These are difficult times. There are those of us that have lost loved ones during this time of year, and we remember them more this time of year than any other time. And there are others that feel the added weight of loneliness because they don't have family to be with. There are certainly times when many have wondered who is in control. There was a man who was driving with his wife at his side, and his mother-in-law was in the back seat. And the women just wouldn't leave him alone. His mother-in-law said, "You're driving too fast." And his wife said, "Stay more to the left." After 10 more orders back and forth, the man turned to his wife and said, "Who's driving this car, you or your mother?" It's sometimes difficult to know who's in control because of all the stuff that's going on. Sometimes we question whether or not God is actually in control. And it's natural to think that way when things are looking bleak. However, Christmas was not meant to be that way. Christmas is a time of hope. For Christians all around the world, during this time, they can set aside maybe just a few moments. Even Christians that are being persecuted around the world in Islamic nations, at some point, they will set aside for just a few moments this time to remember the birth of Christ. And they will focus on that evening. Over 2,000 years ago, that our Savior was born. Instead, this morning, instead of you looking back, we're going to do plenty of that, but I want you, rather than looking back at the birth of Christ, I want you to imagine yourself. If you need to close your eyes, you can. I'm not that great to look at anyway. So, but if you need to close your eyes, I want you to imagine that you are a Jew living during some point during those 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I don't know if we've been talking about this in Bible study. There are 400 years between the ending of the book of Malachi and the beginning of the book of Matthew. There's a lot of history that went on, and it was a brutal time for the Jews. And I want you to think, imagine yourself that you are one of these Jews living during that time. Terrible persecution of the Jews is taking place. Many of your friends and family have either been killed, imprisoned, or enslaved. Kings from different lands are fighting for control of your people, and you are caught in the middle. You pray to God all the time to be delivered from these terrible times. Then, when you go to the synagogues, if you're still able to do that in your area, or probably more likely, you meet in caves, in secret, the rabbi gives you these assurances from the Word of God, Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. You heard it this morning. The wilderness and the dry lands shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for the God people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. The rabbi speaks these words to you from the prophet Isaiah, and they give you hope. It reminds you that God has not forgotten his people. God will bring victory to his people. He will come in righteousness and justice and make all things right. Isaiah reminds you to be strong even through these times of persecution. Do not fear, says the Lord. Oh, how often we are reminded of that. Then the rabbi reads something else that gives you hope for the future. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 says, for a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace to the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The rabbi is telling you that a Messiah is coming. In the Lord's time, he will come and set his people free. If we will but return to him and worship him in truth, he will bring this about. And the rabbi goes on to give you his message of hope, not only to your people, but to the Gentiles as well. Amos, the prophet Amos, in chapter 9, verses 11 through 12, says, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins, and will rebuild it as it used to be, in order that they may possess the remnant of Edom and the nations who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. Though God has chosen to discipline his people at this time, when we return to him, he will raise up the house of David again, and the whole world will be blessed because of our people. Did God not promise our father Abraham that all nations would be blessed through Abraham's seed? Yes. The Messiah will come. If we were a Jew living in this time, we would be encouraged through these words, knowing that the world will not always be like it is. We will not always be under persecution and subjugation or slavery. But sometime, God, in his infinite mercy, will have mercy on us, and he will come, and he will bring his Messiah, and he will free his people. Today, we look back at the birth of Messiah, and we see something completely different than what the Jews were expecting. forward to the day when He will come again and fulfill the other part of the promise that God made to His people. Do you know that actual Jews expected there to be two Messiahs? They couldn't contemplate the thought of Him actually dying and rising again. And so they thought there would be one that would come and set their people free, and then another one would come back later. They had no idea there was just one. He came to set the people free when He was born as a baby and grew up. And He did exactly what He promised He would do. He set His people free. Not just the Jew, but the Gentile as well. And we are saved because of His birth and His death and His resurrection. But see, now we look forward to that other advent, the other coming, when Christ will return and complete the process of reparation. He's going to repair this world. So many of the problems that we have today, the sickness, the disease, the aging, the things we can't, as hard as we work, we can't get away from them. Right? We don't have control over those things. I don't care how many facelifts some of those stars have had, they're still looking older. You can't get past the fact that we're going to get sick, we're going to die, we're going to have loved ones that get sick and die because we live in a damaged world that has been separated from the blessings of God because of the relationship that was damaged between Adam and Eve and God. And so Christ will come and He'll complete that process, and the world will be the way it was supposed to be. It will be just like the Garden of Eden. And just like then, God will walk with us. The Bible tells us, we're going to be studying this in our end time study, but the Bible tells us that there's a bridge between God. There will be an actual bridge between heaven and the new earth, the new heaven and the new earth. You're going to be able to go back and forth, and God will be among us. We won't have that separation from our Creator. Just as Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, so will we walk with our Lord. How incredible that's going to be. We look for that time. We look forward to that. At the same time, we look back at the birth. That's what makes the birth so incredible, isn't it? Because He fulfilled all the things that He said during His birth and lifetime here, we know that He's going to fulfill all the others when He returns. Just like the Jews back in the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are given great hope for the future. Zechariah 9:9-10 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth." We are told there to be joyful. We have these signs up here: peace, joy, love, and hope. Hope is so important. We're told to be joyful. I have recently talked to you about rest and contentment. Isn't it funny how all of these things that the world is seeking to find, not only are they never going to be found in the stuff that they're searching for and the places they're searching, but they're all connected. Have you noticed that? You're never going to have peace until you come to a place of contentment. This morning we were coming to church and we heard a lady, and I love how she put it. She said that she had read that verse that was on her mind, that seek after His righteousness, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And we have most often thought that, oh, if we just do the stuff we're supposed to do, then God will give us what we want. Right? Except that's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying, if you seek Him, and you are a willful, a willing heart, and you do what He wants you to do, then He will tell you what your real desires are. He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you understand the difference? It's not He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. That's different. See, you can't have peace unless you're contented. And you're never going to know joy unless you first have hope. And none of these things can be found in the stuff that the world is searching after. None of them. They can only be found in Christ. I've recently talked to you about those things, but the angels spoke so long ago, just as they said over 2,000 years ago, today I tell you, I bring you good tidings of great joy. As brothers and sisters in Christ, this is our great hope. I know that we think about, because we're caught in this world, we have to think about, how are kids going to be able to go to college? And what am I going to do about the electric bill? And all these other things that flow in. But in truth, when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, all the things that we think are good are going to get so much better. That's our hope. That one day, either we will pass away and be instantly with Him, to be absent from the body, or to be in the presence of the Lord. And that will either happen, or Christ will return. And all of a sudden, everything is the way it's supposed to be. And happiness, all this stuff that, our Constitution said, and the pursuit of happiness, except people are pursuing the wrong stuff. Right? It's these things that will give you happiness. And they're found in Christ. But when Christ returns, all of that will be made easy. Did you notice that verse said, even the foolish won't stumble? Man, I could be an idiot sometimes. I can go the wrong way. That GPS has to recalculate more often than I really like to say. And you don't think I'm going to stop to ask for directions. Right? But when He comes, not going to be any bad way to go. You'll have it all right there. And the way we'll all go, and there won't be any danger, there will be no pain, no sorrow. And here's something. That day is closer now than it ever has been. The Apostle Paul and Matthew and Mark and all those people thought it was going to be next week for them. God has His own plan.
closer now than it was 2,000 years ago. If you cannot find hope and joy in that knowledge, then the relationship with our Lord is probably not what it should be. And I'm not saying that you can't get depressed from trials and tribulations. I know that Paul and Jamie are probably very anxious at that hospital room watching his mom. It's part of what we have. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. It's part of living here. We're called to walk through. But you should be able to always see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you can't, maybe it's because you haven't asked Him to cleanse you from your sin and change you into the person that God created you to be. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you found it difficult to see the hope and the joy through the pain, I think I talked to you a week or two ago, maybe you just need to give those things to Him. You weren't designed to carry them. He was. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, He said. Maybe you need to quit focusing on the past. If we constantly focus on the past, what's going to happen if I constantly focus on the past and I keep looking back and I keep walking? At some point, I'm going to hit that candle. Right? I'm going to stumble because I'm looking back. Quit focusing on the past. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, this is my favorite chapter in the Bible, my favorite book, Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. He said, beloved, I don't consider that I've made it my own, right? I've not gotten there. But this one thing I do, I love this. There's this other thing that I have to do, and it makes it okay. He said, I press forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. See, if I'm focusing backwards all the time, I'm losing sight of the goal. You don't see runners running races backwards. We've got to run our race looking forward. And when we do that, we can always see the hope and the joy and our peace and our love as we move forward. I don't know if you remember this old Go Gator song. If it keeps getting better and better, oh Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do. Because, see, I know I've got something better for me. No matter what I got now, man, listen, people think that they've got everything they need. That's why it's so hard for rich folks to become Christian, because they think they got everything they need. And they don't know that they're broken. Most of us, we know we're broken. We were broken. And we know that we need a Savior. And we need far more than this world will ever give us. That's my hope and my joy. And I'm able to have peace and love. I'm not telling you that those things aren't going to come back to you when you lose a loved one. Of course you'll remember them during these times. But you're going to have that hope someday. I'm going to see them again. And it's going to be better than it ever was. There's something so much better waiting for all of us. We are constrained toward the goal of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. That is our hope and our joy. There are great times of